Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Show with Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Mr. Frank Gerlach. Mr. Gerlach is the owner of a company called Air World Enterprises LLC in New Orleans, Louisiana. He will be on the show talking about his beliefs about welfare and government programs. This show is a non-biased show, so Mrs. Gerlach is also running for mayor. He's going to talk about why things are the way they are in New Orleans. He's going to talk about jobs also. So while we wait for him to call in, I'm going to play some more music.
Girl, you see, you don't know what you have done to me. Every time I try to go to sleep, you're all I'm thinking of, baby. See, honestly, you're the one that makes my life complete. You're the only one for me, you're all I'm dreaming of. Baby, can't you see that you and me, together for eternity. In my vision, you are all I see. I think I'm in love. I think I'm in love. Yeah. See, you're my queen. Baby, you are dear to me. Ain't no place that I would rather be. I'm telling you, baby, I wanna be with you.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
I'm doing good. Doing good. Is it hot enough? Hot enough in Louisiana?
It's very hot.
Very hot. Okay. You've been on this. You've talked on this show before. It was going to have another name. For those of you who did not listen to the last show, I'm going to reintroduce him again. This is Mr. Frank Scurlock. Like I said, he's from New Orleans. He owns the company. All Air World Enterprises LLC in New Orleans. He also opened back up on Disney's Town of Celebration of Orlando, Florida. It's going to be a part of Everett, if it isn't already. So, besides running for mayor, what point of view do you have about welfare, food stamps, and those things? And jobs?
Well, let me say, number one, say hello. I'm Frank Scurlock. I'm from the wonderful city of New Orleans. What you were just saying is I'm a native of New Orleans. However, I did move to Orlando after sadly being a victim of crime in the year 2000. And I actually lived in a Disney town called Celebration for 10 years. And I returned to New Orleans in 2010. My roots are in the amusement and entertainment business where we make people happy. That's the inflatable amusement rides. I took it from my parents' garage to 200 locations nationwide. I own the manufacturing facilities. I develop theme parks, more specifically ones that are closed. And I'm involved in a whole bunch of things in New Orleans because we care, and including along that is, number one, I am opening up a broadcast studio called the Big Easy Network, and then that's tied into me running for mayor for the city of New Orleans.
Okay. So why did you decide to run for mayor?
You know, I've been looking around and seeing things here. We really have some very troubling issues with the economy. Our crime's out of control. Just this past weekend, there have been significant incidences of crime. May be familiar, we actually had the Essence Festival was here in New Orleans this weekend. We had some headline performers like Diana Ross was one, Chaka Khan was one, and last night there was even a performance by Master P, who's local. And I just kept seeing all these issues that nobody was really doing anything about it. And so I'm not a politician. I'm strictly an entrepreneur that knows how to create jobs, knows how to lead people, and that's what I've been working on really since I returned to New Orleans in the year 2010.
All right. So what do you think about China? What is, in your opinion, about the overseas, China having a lot of the United States of America's business?
You know, that's interesting. Let me just point out a few things. So I developed for my family the inflatable amusement rides, which my father invented, starting in New Orleans here in the early 60s. We had production facilities. We made them. When Katrina hit in 2005, we pretty much lost most of our production. So regrettably, our company had to go to China to actually get things made. So I've actually been over there over 20 times. I've been to Hong Kong, a city called Guangzhou, Shenzhen, Shanghai, Beijing, Qingdao, and a whole bunch of other ones. And it started out kind of fun, but at the end of the day, when I started seeing all these American products being made in China, I said, that's not right. That's taken away from America. So started embarking on a program to basically start manufacturing in New Orleans and in the United States. And eventually, I am cutting our dependence from China, and we're really excited about the job creations that we're going to do here because it's really needed. But it's not just for my company. I want to challenge all the other manufacturers out there and all the other entrepreneurs like myself who make a product saying, They don't have to have it made in China. We need to build up America and support America first. Because if we don't, our economy is going to continue to get weaker. And I know that the current president talked about putting up walls and stuff like that with Mexico, but I got to tell you, the real wall we got to put up is the wall of imports from overseas, like specifically China and Asia. We need to just promote getting stuff done here. And it's all across the country. It's every single state has horrible unemployment. We should have no unemployment at all. And while we're buying all this stuff from China, and it's going to take a group of committed people such as myself and others to make a very firm difference in what we're doing.
Yes, sir. I agree with everything you're saying. There have been some entrepreneurs and business people who have said that they did not want to stop manufacturing their products or businesses there in China because the labor is cheaper.
You know,
United States of America, people are going without jobs.
You know, I got to tell you, I don't think it's about cheapness. It's really about value. Go out to eat. You could go eat at a big steakhouse, or you could go out at McDonald's, or heck, you can go to Walmart and get a hot dog in there if you want it. Or you got nice restaurants like the Applebee's and other chains out there. So the buyer gets to decide where he wants to shop for food. And the same thing really goes for items that are produced. Have it be a branded shirt, have it be a generic shirt. Same thing with, especially in the shoe industry. Last night I happened to hang around a bunch of people with the Essence Festival, and it was amazing. They were showing me shirts and shoes that people were paying $200 and $300 for it. And they're still having them made in China, and they're charging that. And I said, guys, you got to stop this. You got to make it here in America, because I truly believe that when people see the American label, they'll be more inclined to buy it as opposed to buying something from overseas. Quite frankly, the quality, the one thing America has is we've got the education, we've got the regulatory issues to inspect it. And, you know, not to jump ahead too far, but a lot of people have heard about this stuff over in China with smog and stuff, specifically in Beijing. That's all created. That's a byproduct of pollution from their manufacturing. Thing here in America with our regulations and stuff, granted, I'm a more non-regulations, but I am believing in being responsible for what you're doing. And we have a long way to go, but I truly believe that it's easily to change, and when we start taking back our labor, it will make us better for everybody. It'll get people off the unemployment rolls, it'll get people off the welfare rolls, and it would be less dependent upon subsidies and food stamps, and they can actually start shopping at real stores and create a real economy that helps everybody.
Yeah. Yes, I understand what you're saying. That's wonderful. You know, what you're saying is, and I totally agree with everything, pretty much everything you just said. But to get other companies to do that, entrepreneurs, but it's like you said, the people have a sense on where they shop and where they eat at. So if the American people start demanding more American-made, that's more than likely that's the way it's
going to
be. Am I correct?
You know, I think it is.
Am I wrong?
We got to put the American thing, and I think it's a complete disgrace to have American flags made overseas in China or anywhere. Even when you call American Express, their call centers are out of the country, and it's American Express. It's not Philippines Express or Malaysia Express. It's American. And the good things now, because of certain things like we, especially down in the South, if you've been to New Orleans, we have wonderful foods. We make and we have a great farming environment. Farming has come a long way. And one thing, because we know how to do it right, we actually export a lot of that to other countries, which is good. But the current trade imbalance, it's way off. I don't know the numbers, but it's way out of proportion. And at a minimum goal, we ought to strive to make it 50-50. But I have a feeling it's probably like 95-5 right now.
Yes, sir. So, not trying to get completely off the subject, but your father, Mr. John Sherlock, was a plastic specialist, I believe, worked for NASA.
Well, it wasn't just plastics. What he did, he was an engineer. He also taught physics classes, and he taught at a school up in Shreveport, Louisiana called Centenary. He also taught at Tulane University, where he met my mother when she was a med tech down here. And he, along the way, after leaving the education sector, he got heavily involved with major companies. He basically was a solutions guy. If somebody told him what their problem was, he would come up with solutions to help make things better.
Okay. Yes, I believe your father invented the modern day inflatable design and founded Spacewalk Incorporated in 1958.
Yeah, that's correct. Hold on one second, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay, back with you.
Yes, sir. That's why I'm letting the people know something of your background. He also had the Spacewalk Safety Air Cushion, which is used by Hollywood stuntmen and fiberglass. The reason I'm pointing this out, everyone, because this is job creation. They're creating jobs, and he's doing the same thing as his father, Mr. Frank Sherlock is. He knows how to create jobs.
That's correct. Yeah, it's all about that, by the way. And as a kid growing up, I can remember very vividly at 10 and 12 years old spending my summer, working in the factory. And when I say working, not really manual labor, but, I would do simple things like load the Coke machine and sweep up things. And we, in the early years, my father worked with other manufacturing companies that were big in the sewing industry. And so that helped facilitate him being able to make our inflatable rides. And what I saw is my mother started the first rental company here in New Orleans. And I said, well, if they're renting them here in New Orleans, what about renting them in maybe like a Dallas or Atlanta or Orlando? And so I quickly started growing all this through high school and my college career. And we ended up with over 300 locations nationwide.
Okay. All right. Okay. Smart.
And when the opportunity came along for me to actually run for mayor, I actually sold my company to some family members so they could pursue that while I pursue running for mayor of New Orleans to make everything come together. Because I believe I'm a good leader. I think I have a great track record of attracting people. And I have a unique way about me of bringing people together because of the playfulness. And I've often been known to be the person wearing a top hat or brightly dressed, or I've got most women have amazing collections of shoes. You ought to see the shoes that I have. I have shoes with wings, and I have shoes that are silver. And it's all about just making people have a good time, and that's really what it is. Because I have a buzz saying is that we can all work, but can we all live? And in order to live, you truly have to be passionate about what you do. You truly have to want to make a difference. And even Walt Disney himself, they had a little cartoon called Whistle While You Work. And if you feel good about it, it doesn't become harsh. And quite frankly, the one thing that I found, most everybody truly wants to work. And what's really sad is I have three children that's in the college ages, just recently got out. They're fortunate, they got to work in the family business. However, so many people get a college degree, and they don't even get to use that degree in the field that they happen to get a job in. They might be, a college degree person stuck doing a low-end service industry job as opposed to pursuing their career. And one of the things that really needs to be done, and we kind of saw this last year in the election cycle, they started talking about the Rust Belt. You think about things like Ohio and Indianapolis and, Detroit and all the Ford factories that are shut down, all the steel factories,
yeah.
all the different products that were made. It's really a tragedy that all these, you know, jobs got lost. And so what happened is, next thing you know, these casinos start popping up, and some on Indian reservations, some not. But it was all of a sudden became a leisure thing, which I'm all about having a good time. Don't get me wrong. But
yes,
in order to have
a
good time, I have to be responsible, and I got to have an income.
Yes.
And so until we recognize that it takes, you know, rolling up your sleeves, getting down to business, and really you have to be very conscious when you shop. If it's only about the price, it's not going to work out very well. You know, and I'll challenge anybody for this simple reason. I just actually, see, you know, first off, today's date is a wonderful day. Today's July 3rd. This is the equivalent of like Christmas Eve is to July 4th. So I went out to a nice, beautiful place called Voodoo Barbecue, and I was looking at the menu, and they had coleslaw on there for $2.25 as a side. Then they had a barbecue pulled pork platter for $9.95 that includes two sides and a drink. And then they also, you could have gotten a whole rib dinner for $18. You know what? Those are all foods, and you get what you pay for. And if you think about that type of logic, is the same thing should happen when we go to stores. And back in the day, I'd say back in the 70s, when generics started becoming a big thing, especially in the pharmaceutical industry, you might have had a brand name, you know, a pill. But if you had a generic version of that, because you didn't have to pay for the licensing or the royalties and stuff, the prices dropped considerably. Well, you know what? It doesn't cost anything to say made in America. And if you think about branding, that's what marketing companies do. They just take a brand and they add it on a piece of clothes. So if we can change that and mindset and start having the made in America label, not only would you feel good about it, but you would actually be doing something to help your fellow man and the Americans out there. I mean, because at the end of the day, it truly breaks my heart to see not only adults living in poverty, but the children. These children need to be given a chance. And the only way for them to have a chance, especially when it comes to the education system, which I'm a very big supporter of the public school system. People don't realize, or not everybody, and I really probably shouldn't be saying this, but it doesn't take much people to figure out, New Orleans is the most incarcerated city in the United States, if not the world, which means we have more people in prison. And you know what that tells me? That means we need more jobs. So I'm on a crusade to travel, to bring industry here. I'm actually going out to California and to Hollywood in the middle to late part of July, and I'm asking for the movie companies to come back to New Orleans, where we shot more than 200 TV shows, commercials, and movies over the past 5 years, and ask these people to not only come back, but to stay and invest in our community that we call home. New Orleans, most people recognize, we have a lot of fun names. We're called the Crescent City. We're called the Big Easy. We're called Hoodats. But most importantly, if you live here, we call it home. And we're very hospitable people. We're Southern culture. Our food's amazing. Our entertainment. And from time to time, we even have a good football team, I think.
Okay. All right. That's wonderful. I just have a question. Now, the criminal justice system, people who are in prison and they're doing labor for, let's say, a fraction of the cost, there's some that people who are not inside the prison would earn that low amount. What do you think about when someone's in prison and they get out and they work for these companies, major companies sometimes, corporations, when they get out of prison, they put an application at the place they worked at in the prison. They tell them that they cannot give them a job because they have a felony. What is your opinion about that, on that type of job? Because those people are going to work too.
You know, I'll say this. First off, let me declare this. Sadly, I was involved in an incident in New Orleans earlier this year, and I ended up going to not only jail, but they called it Orleans Parish Prison here, where I spent 6 hours one night at a lockup. So even as a businessman, I've actually been to prison. Okay, but I will tell you this. While I was in that prison, I met some amazing people. And I realized one thing. Every single one of those people has a heart. Every one of those people has a soul. And every one of those people really needs to be given a restart with life. I'm a very strong spiritual people and person, and that, you know, as it said, we're all sinners, but we can make a change of our heart. We can turn things around. We can be redeemed. I mean, quite frankly, that's what a lot of churches' name is, Redeemer. And I believe that everybody should be given a chance. And quite frankly, I know in my factory and stuff, it doesn't matter. We don't discriminate anybody. I mean, it doesn't matter what color, where you're from, even education. The only thing we do ask is you must be honest and reliable. And if you're honest and reliable, then you can have any job that you want. And that's one of the new things that we're seeing, is that so many people that I meet today, they've actually come from really hard paths. They have, you know, they could have gone to prison themselves, but when they got out, they became committed. They became engaged. And instead of saying, oh, poor, pitiful me, they actually said, I got it out of the way. Now I'm getting ready to do the undone. And that's what excites me. So to some degree, I like to hire those people because I believe those people will be more true to themselves. And also that means my company benefits even further because they want to show me how good they are. They want to show me they're qualified. So that's how people should look at it. They shouldn't frown upon it.
Yeah.
You know,
people should be given
we
given
all
a
do things
chance.
Wrong.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And
absolutely.
Just because somebody's made some mistakes in their past, whether it be drugs or things like that, people should be given a second chance, no matter what their race is. Black, African-American, Hispanic, Caucasian, white, you know, everybody should be given a second chance, you know, because prison is a punishment. And it's a punishment. But I believe when someone has did their time, their rights should automatically be restored, automatically. As a matter of fact, I really don't believe they shouldn't be able to vote, but I have no control over that. But I agree with you about the second chance. People want to work. People want jobs. People don't want to continue to do crime and keep going to prison. They really don't. They just cannot get the jobs because of a record.
You know, one of the big problems in the education system, especially in New Orleans, we got rid of all of our trade schools. We used to have programs that would teach people the fundamentals of carpentry or mechanical different things and just assembly and get people to think and use their hands and their knowledge. And sadly, we've lost that, and we need to get that back. Here in New Orleans, we actually have a community college called, and they actually have like an EMS program. They have an aircraft program to teach people how to be aircraft mechanics. And then they've got just different services. And, you know, sadly, if you look at the universities today, they spend so much emphasis on athletics, and if you look at their budgets, I mean, my gosh, and they don't. That's they're spending money in the wrong areas. If you ask me, we need to have it in the classroom. We need to have better resources. I'm a real big research person. I love the internet. Quite frankly, I was trying to figure something out. I personally think that the internet should be free. because it was actually provided by our government. It was built for the military, and all of a sudden now companies are taking advantage of it, and they're charging citizens a fee to go on it, but yet the backbone and the infrastructure is provided by our government. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yes, I agree. It should be free. It would help the American people a lot. It would, because a lot of people here in other places go to the library, because they don't have that at home.
Exactly.
Computers.
There's no greater thing we can do than invest in education. And it's continuing education. It's not just the school or the high school or the college you go to. It is continual. Life is a journey. And every day something is invented, something becomes history, something becomes more knowledgeable. And you keep doing that, and at the end of the day, that's how you build a very strong, vibrant community. And that's really one of the big things we have over the Asian culture, that if the Asians ever were able to radically think free, we would be really, really in big problems. And sadly, they're catching up real quick. So it's time to make a change in all this.
Yes, I understand that. I believe you're saying that America is more competitive within not just colleges, universities, also in vocational, technical field, because I know there are nurses, CNAs, mechanics, architects, electricians who make quite a bit of good money, and they don't have AR bachelor's, three-hour master's, or PhD, but they make really good money. Electricians and, things like that.
Absolutely. Those trades out there, they make real good money, and they can easily support a family, and they can support a family incredibly nice. And guess what the best part about that is? They're just using their own God-given talents and capability. They don't really expend a lot of natural resources. They just get it, and that's what we need more of.
Yes. So you firmly believe that in entrepreneurship?
Oh, 100%. As a matter of fact, people consider me the entrepreneurial type candidate because I certainly am not a politician. I know the only way, which I believe in my mayor's race, we have a platform called ACE. That's A-C-E. A stands for affordable housing. C stands for crime prevention. And E stands for education. And all three of those have to come out of another E, and that's called economy, and that is what you have to have jobs to make the economy work. Without jobs, we're in a really tough situation.
Yeah, that's right. Job creation. Now, I'm a firm believer. I do not believe everyone can work. I do not believe everyone can work full time. You may disagree with that, though.
What did you say?
I was saying that you might disagree with me, but I don't believe everyone can work. Just like you don't believe necessarily that everyone needs a college education. There are some people who just can't work or cannot work full time. I'm talking about the disabled. What is your opinion on them?
Well, first off, to be honest with you, depending on what their disability is, I love to handle or hire disabled people. In my previous spacewalk factories, I've had deaf mutes, I've had handicapped people, and quite frankly, they're actually the ones that actually do a better job for me. And if they're disabled and have one deficiency in one area, actually they overcompensate it for in another area. So I think everybody should be given a chance. However, it really depends on the type of disability. For example, maybe if they're in a warehouse, they need to be mobile. Maybe if somebody has some limitations with lifting something, obviously that can't be done. But maybe there's a desk job, maybe there's a labeling job, and that's something else. So I think it's important to put the right qualified person into the right position. And the one thing I don't like about regulations, sometimes especially they have a quota to have so many people do a particular job, even if they're not qualified. And I think that's a real big problem with our society is people have to be qualified. To tell you the truth, that's one of the problems with our New Orleans Police Department. They need better training. They need to really get in shape. You know, there's always that joke out there about policemen going to donut shops and things like that. And especially here in New Orleans, we've got amazing food. But
okay.
The reality is they need to be the most fit people there are. And somebody was telling me that they actually have different types of testings where they have to run a mile and so long, which I didn't know about that, but I'm glad that they have some type of beginning rules.
So the police officers should be fit. Okay. That makes good sense.
Mm-hmm.
We both know there are some really great police officers, and there are some who aren't great.
Well, sadly,
police officers. Yeah. I mean
it is true, and it was documented back in the days of Katrina. We sadly had a lot of bad police officers that kind of, they were in it for themselves, and they felt, for whatever reason, they could start taking things from stores, and they did. I mean, we lost amazing stores, like we had Canal Place here that has our Saks Fifth Avenue. A friend of mine worked there back in the Katrina year, and you know what? People broke in there, and they stole. And quite frankly, kind of speculated that some of the people in the police department were involved with it, which is a real tragedy.
Training
and more accountability. You know, once people start feeling appreciated, and I think they'd have a lot less crime overall. And it goes back to that wonderful word that Aretha Franklin sings. It's called respect. And that's something that we really have missed. And it's also called accountability. And people need to be very accountable for everything that they do. And if they've done the crime, they got to pay the time. But if they also, you know, maybe need a helping hand, especially in the handicap, I mean, you know, let's be realistic. The way God created the earth, we all are born. We're a baby. And then we go through these development years. We're all going to get older. We're all going to eventually pass and transform. So we have to be able to equip ourselves to be able to transfer to keep up with our different needs. I really don't want to be a burden to anybody. So we basically need, you know, to equip ourselves and have the access to different disabled services. Because someday we're going to need that.
That is very true. You're correct.
Thank you. Let me say this, and one of the reasons why I think I'm a little different than most is I've literally traveled the world for a hobby. I've been to Dubai, I've been to Australia, been to Europe, I've been to Canada, been to Mexico, and sadly I've been to Asia more than 20 times, and just all those different trips. And then, of course, I've been to over half the United States, and
okay.
We are by far the best country in the world. Even with all of our problems, we are the best. But we can certainly get better, and we can get stronger, and we really need to go back into the education fields and start creating new things. And one thing I'm a really big proponent of is the space industry. There's been amazing byproducts off of that. That encourages people to think. Remember, when John F. Kennedy talked about sending a man to the moon, a lot of people didn't believe it. But guess what? We did it. And we created so many jobs along the way. And the byproducts were amazing. You know, we got Velcro from there. We got cordless drills from there. I mean, Black & Decker, all their suite of products. And, of course, you know, heck, we had Tang, if you remember. Back in the day when the astronauts went up, they even had special foods that were made for them. But when you start encouraging people to be creative, to be risk takers, to also be innovative, but the key is you've got to be diligent and hang in there. If you can hang in there, you will, as they say, make it to the promised land. And that's really, I believe, going back to the spiritual sense, it's that those are the talents, you know, that God gives people. And it also talks about in the Bible, when people are given talents, what do they do with them? Do they hoard them or do they reinvest them? And I'm a big believer in reinvesting. And quite frankly, when we look at the federal government, we look at different things and we compare it to the principles that God states, you know, it says in biblical terms that you should tithe 10% of your income. That means give your first 10%, right? I don't see why our government has to work more. It costs more than 10%. It doesn't matter if you're the richest person or the poorest person, but it should be fair to everybody. And we have to be a very good steward on things that we've been entrusted with. And when we start following the principles set out by our Creator, I think you're going to see a lot of things start falling into place.
Okay, so
I think I almost sound like a pastor, but
I'm trying. You said you're talking about Washington, the government. You said once,
of course,
government. You kind of faded out there. You were talking about the government and the 10% that people give to the church, and then you said,
absolutely.
You were talking about the government.
I don't think the government.
I didn't quite catch that.
If God can only ask or does only ask for 10, why is the government entitled to get more? You know, that's one of the big disconnects. If we had the volume that we should be having, one thing I found out recently in interviewing people running for mayor, there's so many people don't properly pay their taxes. So many people work on a cash economy, and they kind of feel this, I don't know, the sense that people owe them. And I was trying to tell them, I said, you can't do that. No one's going to win that way. Follow the principle, follow the golden rule, and things will happen for you. It's when you disobey, that's when you start having the consequences.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you're not laying this on the backs of people who are poor or economically challenged. I am so glad that you said what you did. I hope no one was offended that works in higher offices in government and things, but I'm really glad you said it because so much of the blame is laid on poor people, people who are not.
Absolutely. You know what? Here's the thing.
I
actually think here's one of the reasons why I believe I'm qualified to be mayor. Is that I obviously have a very big vision, and I believe it's the person that has the vision, and not only the vision, but that puts together a team to reclaim it. You know, quite frankly, I have some friends up in New York City that are very powerful. They said, man, if you can do what you're doing in New Orleans, we'll find a way to get you on the presidential ticket in 2020, and you should become our next president. I'm like, wow, that's big, but you never know. It all goes back to leadership. And it's somebody's got to basically lead. If you think about, you know, look at the sports industry. You have a coach. A coach brings everybody together. He brings the offense together. He brings the defense together. But the coach knows the rules. He knows what they have to work with. And he also knows what is likely to occur because that's what he does. He monitors all the different people. In terms of football, when I'm not a football player, but I know a little bit about it, you have, you know, the offensive line coach or the defensive coach. It's utilizing your resources, and it's really simple. And the other thing I like to share with people, you know, you talk about economies, is everybody has their own economy. No matter if you're single, living by yourself, if you're in a, you know, if you're a family of five living in a house, or if you run a company or even a state, city, or national government, we all have to have a balanced economy and control our income and our expenses. Once we get that underway, then everything will start falling in line together.
Right. I believe you are correct. And so you said that you might be running possibly in 2020.